Got up this morning, woke up about 5:30 with this on my mind, and I don't know, I don't have a note one, I'm just going to preach what I call shotgun preaching. I'm just going to preach to you this morning, try to share with you what I think the Lord has put on my heart, and it's frightful to me when I get a message. I'm a church preacher. I preach to the church most of the time. I'm not evangelistic in my ministry by nature. I know I'm to do the work of an evangelist, but it seems like my burden is to see God's people go on. But this morning I want to preach to you on a place called hell. I want to talk to you about hell. For a little while, it's been nudging me for the last 24 hours. Let me see if I can get this thing fixed first. All right. It's been nudging on me, and I really may just be teaching a Sunday school lesson, but I want to ask you this morning, what road are you traveling down? And let me pray first. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, and you know my inadequacy, my inability. You know how pitiful I am, but Lord, I ask you to help me. Please help me. I'm comfortable. You put this on my heart. And Lord, I understand this. Without you, I'll just be wasting. I'll be wasting my time and my breath, and be wasting these good people's time. But Lord, if you'll just move in and do the work on the hearts it needs doing, oh God, it'll be worth it this morning. So I pray you just still any disturbances that might arise. I ask you now, if you would, just to hold them back. Father, I pray you would grasp the attention of those that need to hear. And oh, Father, give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and help me to communicate to the listeners what you want. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to ask you this question this morning. Where are you headed? Where are you headed? Well, I'm headed down to the town. No, I'm not talking about that. What road are you on spiritually? I think that's a fair question to ask. And I want all you young people to pay attention to me this morning. Here's what happens when you preach or teach on hell. Many times if it's starting to affect you start scribbling on a piece of paper, or you start distracting, you try to get your mind off of what's being said. But I want you to listen. And if you do get your mind off of what's being said, it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't make anything any different. You're just avoiding the facts of the matter. And so I want you to stay in Luke 16. I'm gonna jump around just a little bit for a minute till it gets started. The Bible says in Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the way. Broad is the way. There's a broad way that leadeth to destruction. And so there is a destination on the broad way. There's a destination. There's a location the broad way takes you to. And that location is destruction. That's what the Bible says. Destruction. What does that mean? Well, I think we'll see in just a little bit. And the Bible says, and many there be which go in thereat. Now, if you were to knock on doors in this community, Everybody would tell you they're saved. There might be one or two that wouldn't, but 95% of the doors you knock on, they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. But the Bible says this, there's many on their way to destruction. And then the Bible says this, because straight is the gate, and that word straight means narrow, and narrow is the way. It's a narrow gate, and it's a narrow way, which leadeth unto life. Now here's what the Bible says, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. So here's what the Bible teaches us. Many are on their way to destruction, and there's a few that's on their way to life. Now that ought to sober us up. In this room, that ought to sober us up right now. That would say, and I know this is supposedly God's people gathered together this morning, but that would say that in a room full of however many we have here, 80 or 90 people, that there's most likely some on that broad way. There's most likely some that's on their way to a place, a location called destruction in Matthew's gospel. Now here's what I want you to understand. That way, I want to reckon that to life. And here's the fact of the matter. That way of destruction is what we call hell. And that way of life is heaven. And you are traveling right now. Every one of you in this room are traveling in one direction or another. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. And the Bible says there's many on their way to hell and there's a few on their way to heaven. Amen. Now that's the Bible. That's not me. That's not me interpreting anything from that. That's just the Word of God. Amen. There's few on their way. Now here's what happens. Every day, you take a step towards your direction.
That's right.
And when that day's over and the next day comes, you're one day closer to your destination. Yeah. And then when that week's over and you start a new week, you're one week closer to your destination. One week closer. Now, you're one week closer to heaven or to hell than you were last week.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, that's just a fact of the matter. And tomorrow, you're going to be one day closer. And every day, every hour, every minute, you get a little closer to where you're going to spend eternity.
Amen.
That ought to sober us a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that ought to make us stop and think, where are we going? What direction are we headed in? Every day. My, can you believe 2 months of this year has already passed by? I mean, we're 2 months closer to eternity. You're either two months closer to heaven or 2 months closer to hell. And day by day, you go down your path. You go down your path. But here's something that's very sad. Maybe I ought to say it. Maybe I ought to save it to the end. But I'm going to share it with you right now. Here's the great danger. You don't know when your end is coming. Here's what the Bible says. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow.
Right. Yes.
You don't know what tomorrow holds. Mm-hmm. Scotty, you didn't know a month ago or however long it was what you're going to be up against. You didn't know that. You didn't know what it held. My, I could go around the room. I just know Scotty's fresh on his mind. Fresh in his life, and so it come to my mind, but all of you have had things that have happened. You didn't know it was going to happen. Here's what the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. Have you ever just seen a little puff of smoke and then it just slowly dissipates away, and it's not long till that little puff of smoke that was right there in front of you, it's just gone. That's how he reckons life. And he says this, Go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. They're bragging about what they're going to do on tomorrow. And the verse I just read says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. Now I'll tell you, if I knew I was on that broad road going to hell, I'd be careful who I got in the car with. Did you realize they are one dead moment away from making the wrong mistake, pulling out in front of somebody or whatever it might be, and you're in eternity? That's right. There could be one in our midst who would be in eternity before nightfall. Just pull out on the road. My, I'd be careful about even going anywhere, really. Because who knows? You can't control the other drivers.
Sure.
Who knows when somebody's going to just come through and wipe you out. I'd be careful what I did. I'd be careful going downstairs. What if you fail? Going down the stairs and you hit your head and you go out into eternity. I read the statistics on falls, what the percentage of people die from falls. It's unbelievable. My, the flu. What if you get the flu? People die from that. Here's what I'm trying. I could just go through a whole list of things. Be real careful if you're on the broad way.
Amen.
Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You just don't know. I mean, you could be in eternity. You might say, well, I'm just a kid and I've got a long time. You can be in the back seat of a car and go out into eternity at 10 or 12 years old.
Sure.
There's been teenagers on Friday night. They went to the party. Just going to have a good time and had plans for Saturday morning. They had great plans, had the weekend planned out. Maybe they drank too much alcohol and they go get in a car or get on a motorcycle and they start down the road and they have a wreck and they wake up in eternity. They didn't mean to go to hell. They didn't mean to. It just happened. It just happened. Can you imagine a 16-year-old at a party having a good time, drinks too much, gets on a motorcycle, goes down the road, and wakes up in hell wondering what happened? I can hear him now screaming for his mom and his dad to help him. Here's what I'm saying before we even look at our text this morning. Life is uncertain.
Amen.
You do not know when it's coming to an end. And the fact of the matter is, spiritually speaking, you're on one of two roads. You're either on your way to heaven, or you're on your way to hell. No other road, just those two roads. You're on the broad way or you're on the narrow way. Now, with that in mind, I want to go to Luke chapter 16. And I want to read about two men. I want us to read about two men. And we're going to, here's what really happens in this text. God just pulls back the curtain and lets us look into eternity for just a moment. And the focus is on hell. And I want you to notice the great transition. The Bible says this, I'm in verse number 19 of chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. If I were to ask you, which one of those would you want to be? Which one of those, based on those three verses there, which life would you want to live? Most of you all would say, well, I'd want the life of ease. I'd want the life of luxury. And my, can I say, success in this life does not guarantee success in eternity. It's not so important. What I think our Lord is trying to show us is it's not so important how we live here. It's important that we prepare to live eternally. I think that's the truth that's being taught. And so we have the rich man and we have the beggar. And the beggar was laid at his gates. And I can imagine, I just let my mind wander, and I hope you will this morning. Let your mind wander, and here's the rich man going out the gate, and there lays Lazarus, and no doubt Lazarus testifies to this man from time to time because he wants Lazarus to go testify to his brethren later on. And so he knows Lazarus has a testimony that has power to it, you see. And so no doubt he testifies to this man from time to time. I strongly wonder if the Lord was not implying this to be a Pharisee. They were lovers of money. I do not know that to be the case, but there was a certain rich man and he had a good life. He had a good life. He had everything going his way. He had fine clothes. He had good meals. He fared sumptuously every day. And old Lazarus, he just was laid at his gate. He had sores. He was full. The Bible says he is full of sores. I can't imagine. I don't guess I could imagine someone just full of sores, just laying there full of sores and begging for the crumbs that fell from the table of the rich man. And here's what many of y'all would say, that's disgusting. That's repulsive. Our society would say, away with him, put him somewhere. Do something with him. But you see, those two men were deceptive in one way. The rich man was really bankrupt, and the poor man was really a multimillionaire. So important, you understand, this life doesn't determine success. One fellow said it this way: our world values wealth much too highly. And I'm afraid that to be so. He went on to say they value it so highly, men sell their souls for wealth. And I think that's what we're looking at here. But I want you to notice verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died. Many died. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But notice this as well. The rich man also died and was buried. And I want to just say this to every one of you in this room. You're going to die. Yes, sir. If the Lord does not come back, death is stalking your trail. And just as you're walking every day, every week, every year, you're walking down life's pathway, one day death's going to overtake you. The Bible says it's appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. You're going to die. You don't know when. Teenager, you don't know when. 20-year-old, you don't know when. 60-year-old, you don't know when. Death stalking your trail. Be sure of this fact. You're going to die. If the Lord delays His coming and allows time to go on, you're going to die. They died, both of them died. And we see one was on the broad road and one was on the narrow road. And the Bible says about the rich man, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. This rich man went to hell. Let's stop just a minute. Can you hear him? In your mind, can you not hear the rich man 2,000 years later crying out in hell? It's real quiet in here. But the fact of the matter is, in my mind, I'm hearing him crying out. I'm hearing him still in hell. He traded. Let's say he lived to be 70 years old. He traded 70 years of luxury for now 2,000 years of hell. And the fact of the matter is, he's going to be in hell forever. Now, I know death and hell be cast into the lake of fire. I know hell; those in hell is going to stand at the judgment of the dead. I understand that. Be judged according to the words. I know there's a lake of fire. But the fact of the matter is, he's in hell and the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah. Never going to end. Yeah. Never going to end. He's in hell. Well, you say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about hell? I don't know about you, but if I take a vacation for 2 or 3 days, I'm ready to come home. If it's a good place, I'm still ready to come home in 4 or 5 days, whatever it is. I'm ready to come home. But in hell, you never come home. When you go, you never return. When you get to hell, you're there. Young people, listen at me today. When you get to hell, you're there forever. The rich man's still in hell. He's still crying out. He may even be so bitter and so hateful towards God now and so angry at God, he may be cursing God. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing now, but he's in hell and he'll never get out. Amen. What's the big deal? Notice what it says. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You see, you don't die. When you get to hell, you don't die. It'd be good if they would just burn up and be annihilated. But you don't die in hell. And if you believe the Bible, hell has a fire. Hell is fire. Listen to what it says. In Luke chapter 9, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into fire that never shall be quenched. In hell, the fire will never be put out. Never be put out. Can you imagine living in fire? I used to just get a little, if somebody had a cigarette lighter or something, I'd get a lighter and strike it. I'd move it close to somebody's hand. And I couldn't even touch their finger with a flame without them flinching. Can you imagine going to hell and burning in a fire that was never quenched and you never die? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine one day being cast into the lake of fire? I think about the lake down here, Fort Loudoun. You go across, when you go across the dam, or maybe go Mississippi, and you go across the bridge down there. Can you imagine if that was just all fire? I mean, just a lake of fire. A lake of fire. My, I wish we had your little banner up here, Brian. I wish we could just get a picture of the lake of fire. Get a picture of hell on fire. And people going there. Brother Bud was mentioning some of his kinfolk. Brother Bud, I don't know if you remember saying it. He's talking about one of you. I'm not going to say what relation it was, but you said he's in hell today as far as you know. And I've got some kinfolk as far as I know. They're in hell today. They're burning. And they're going to burn forever and ever. And they're going to get out at the judgment seat and stand before a holy God. He's going to judge their works, I think, to determine their degree of punishment. That's what I think. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. They're going to think maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope. They'll stand there before God. No doubt the great white throne. They'll be begging and pleading. And if we are in the audience looking on, can you imagine what that's going to be like? I mean, sitting there and watching our family beg and plead with God, please don't throw me in the lake of fire. I'm sorry. Please have mercy on me. Maybe look over to us and say, help us. Help us. We need you to say a good word for us, but it'll be too late, don't you see? Too late. Tell you what I'd do, I believe I'd reach over there and just hug them right now in case they go out into eternity. It's on fire, hell's on fire. It's never going to be quenched. You're never going to call the fire department, put it out. They make their jokes. I'm going to sell ice water in hell. And I'm the only hell my mama's ever raised. And they can say all that stuff. But when they get to hell, it won't be a laughing matter. It won't be a joke then. Oh my, there won't be no pride then. There won't be nobody putting on then. My, to be misery and torments for you. Oh God, help us. Hell, he lift up his eyes. You still be alive. I think you still be able to see. I don't know if I have Bible for it. I know he saw Abraham, but I believe we'll be able to see our loved ones in heaven. I believe that. I believe those in hell will be able to look and see. And my, they'll have such longing to be there. It'd be too late. What road are you going down? You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. Here's what he said. Let me see if I can stay in the text for a little bit. The rich man, he saw Lazarus. He didn't have time for Lazarus. He didn't have time to help him. He didn't have time to listen to him. He's too proud. He's too proud. He's too haughty. And he cried and said, cried. I believe he cried out, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He's praying now, isn't he? You know, if he'd have prayed that while he's living, God'd have heard him. God'd have heard him. He'd honor that prayer. Now he's in hell. And he's praying, he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. My, he's concerned about himself. He cares. He wants help now. He wants somebody to come to him and help him. But it's too late. He's waited too long, don't you see? Oh, my. And he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Here's what he said. Just want a drop. Just a drop. He wasn't asking for much, was he? You think, my, why could he not have just a drop? My, why? Can I tell you, he passed up the mercy of God. God, I believe God sent Lazarus to his gate to give him the message. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't heed. Maybe he's embarrassed. What my friends think. But now he's in hell and he don't care now. He don't care. My, he cries out, and I just want a drop. I just want him to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I'm tormented this flame. Still tormented today. If he was thirsty then, imagine what it's like now. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You know what the answer to his prayer was? No. No, you see, the most praying people that you'll ever find are in hell today. They're praying in hell. I promise you, you don't have time to pray. You're not burdened to pray. Those in hell are praying. You can count on that. They're praying. But here's the sad thing. The Lord will hear our prayers, but he won't hear their prayers. They've waited too long. They've waited too long. And if you go to hell, you'll pray. There's no doubt in my mind, you'll pray and you'll cry out. And you'll lose your pride. You'll have time to pray. You'll be burdened to pray. It'll be too late. Your prayers will go unanswered. Oh my. I'll tell you what I believe I'd do. I believe I'd pray now. I believe I'd think about praying now. Here he is in hell, and he's praying for mercy, and there's no mercy given to him. Can you imagine being where you could not find mercy from the Lord? I mean, we receive mercy every day. God shows us mercy every day. But those folks in hell, there is no mercy. They've passed the day of mercy by, and they're in hell. They did not have time. They belittled God. They had no interest in God. They're too proud and too haughty, and they're in hell, and they have no mercy. No mercy. Oh, my. And you don't know when your life's coming to an end.
That's right.
You don't know what tomorrow holds. Oh, my. Here he is. He's praying for mercy. But he gets no mercy. And then he said, Abraham says, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You say, preacher, well, what's that about? It means when you get to hell, you'll never have another visitor. Nobody ever come visit you. You can't never go visit nobody. We don't read of the rich man having fellowship with other people who are in hell. He's talking to Father Abraham. If you wanna look at it, I know it's a Jewish, I know there's a Jewish connotation to that, but he's he's praying, but really there's nobody to talk to in hell. You're all alone in hell. Can you imagine eternity all alone, crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth? Nobody to talk to, no friends, no family. You're just in hell. Can I just tell you again, you don't have to go. I'm telling you a lot of bad things, but I've got some good news. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. He said, there's a gulf and nobody can go back and forth. You can't come to us and we can't get to you. There's this great gulf fixed. Once you get there, you're there. You're there to the great white throne judgment anyways. You're there. And then he said, I pray. Isn't that something? There's a man in hell praying again. He's not praying for himself now. He's going to pray for his family. I don't know why we can't get trouble for a family. People in hell's trouble for their family. You can be sure of that. They're troubled about their family. I've seen people, and I know what they're thinking. My mom and dad went to hell, and if they're in hell, I want to go where they're at. I've seen that mindset before. But I want to tell you, when you get to hell, you'll not fellowship with mom and dad. And if you could talk to mom and dad in hell, they'd tell you, don't come here. Don't come here. Your family does not want you to go where they're at if they're in hell. And I'm not trying to give you bad thoughts or make you have negative thoughts, but I want you to face the facts this morning. I want you to just face the facts. Am I telling the truth this morning? I mean, really, that's all I'm asking. Am I telling the truth? Then he said, I'm in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. How did he even know Lazarus would testify? How did he know? Can I tell you how he knew? Lazarus had testified to him. Not doubt in my mind. God put Lazarus there to give the rich man a chance. Sinner, you may be in this church so you can have a chance to be saved.
Yes, sir.
It may be. And my, he really thought Lazarus, he must have thought awful hard about what Lazarus had to say, because he thought Lazarus could convince his brothers. It's as if he's thinking, he almost convinced me, and if he'll go to my brothers, I believe after my death, I believe he for sure will be able to convince them. I'm just telling you what I think. I can't prove that with the Bible. I believe that to be so. He knew Lazarus would testify. I know that. He said, I have five brethren that had, verse 28, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. It was so bad. It was such a horrible place. He did not want his family to come. I'm here, I can't get out, I'm miserable, I'm burning in the flame. Please tell my brothers not to come to this awful place. Now what's the answer going to be? Here's another prayer request. He's praying again, not for himself, but for his brethren. What's the answer? Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Here's what he was told. They have the word of God. Let them hear what the word of God has to say. And he said, nay. He was persistent. My in hell, there's a missionary zeal like you've never seen. Hey, in hell, there are people who want us to go and tell their loved ones about the Savior. Here's what he said, nay. He wouldn't have the answer. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. My, you have to repent if you're going to be saved. What is repentance? It's a change of mind about yourself, about the Savior, and about your sin. Mine, it'll result in a change of action, don't you see? Oh, you remember when you was a haughty sinner? You didn't need any help. You didn't need anybody. You was living your life your way. You didn't care what the preacher said or anybody else. But there came that time that the Holy Ghost made it real how sorry and wretched and no good and hell deserving you was. Do you remember that? My, you changed your mind about who you was. You realized you was no good. You realized you needed a Savior. You realized you hated sin and didn't want to sin, but couldn't stop. And you called out on God and He saved you. Amen. Oh my. Go, I've changed your mind. He said this. A lot of people don't believe in repentance. Those in hell do. Those in hell do. Here's what he said. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And now the Holy Ghost pulls the curtain closed again. Story's come and gone. He had two primary prayer requests. Neither of them was answered. He wanted mercy. And then he wanted someone to go to his brethren. And my, he's still in hell today. And it would be good, and I know it would be awful, but for us, we have no vision of hell. I know that because of our actions. We have no concept of it. If we really saw our loved ones dangling over hell, surely we'd pray more. Surely Friday night prayer and Saturday night prayer, we'd have more people than what we have. If we really could see our loved ones hanging over hell, my, hell's a real place. And every week, one step closer. The next week, another step or two closer. And one day, it's going to be a reality. But here's what I want to say. I've told you the bad. I think you need to know if you're going to go there, if you're going to say no to God, you're going to go there. You need to know what it's going to be like. You're going to be all alone. Your prayers are going to be unanswered. You're going to be in torments. Might you be able to see? You might be able to see those who are in heaven. But here's the fact of the matter. You don't have to go. You see, the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. We talked about the broad road and we talked about the narrow road. You see, the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to heaven. You may be on the broad road. You don't have to stay there. If you stay, it's your decision. If you stay on that broad road, it's because you chose to. That's right. My, if you go to hell, you can't blame God. He sent His Son to die on the cross so you could go to heaven. Jesus gave His life, purchased the church with His own blood so you could go to heaven. Made a way for you to get off the broad way onto the narrow way. Oh, my. How about it today? Which way are you headed? If you were to die right now, and life is so uncertain, what's to keep your heart from stop beating right this very second? I mean, think about it. What keeps our heart pumping? What's to keep a blood clot? I mean, a million scenarios I could give you on the brevity of life. You're trying to scare me. I'm trying to give you reality. I'm trying to get you to see the truth of the matter. Let me ask you this. It's going to ask you, what road are you on? You on your way to hell? Have you ever called out on the Lord Jesus Christ and have called out on God and asked Him to save you for Jesus' sake? Let me give you the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, because we couldn't get to Him, He came to us. Isn't that a good Savior? Brother Allen, when I think about Him laying aside the splendor of glory and coming to an earth where He was rejected and mocked and ridiculed and eventually killed for you and I think, what a Savior. He came and He lived a sinless life and He took your sins upon Himself. And He marched up Calvary's hill and He hung between heaven and earth and He suffered the punishment that you should have suffered for your sins. He suffered in your place. He was your substitute. He took your whipping so you won't have to. Let me say it this way. He suffered your hell so you don't have to go to hell. That's right. Oh my, what a Savior. Why did He do it? I don't understand it. As sorry as we are and pitiful as we are, I don't understand why He went to Calvary. I don't understand why He took my sins upon Himself and suffered my place. All I can say, He must have loved us a whole lot. That's all I can say. He's paid the price. And if you believe that and we'll call on Him with a repentant heart, He'll save you and put you on the narrow road.
Amen.
You won't have to go. You won't have to go to hell. You won't have to go. The Lord burdened me yesterday evening with this. I woke up 5:30. The new time, I guess, is 4:30. Hell was on my mind, Brother Allen. Don't go to hell. You don't have to. The Lord don't want you to. He doesn't want you to so much that He sent His Son to die in your place. If you'll call on Him, He'll save you. And if you'll come to Him, He'll not cast you out. He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll save you today. So you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. He said if you'd come, He'd save you. Hey, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And the Holy Spirit preserved that. And if He can save the chief sinner, He can save you today. Let's bow our heads. Do you need to be saved? Would you like to be saved this morning? I'll give you what God's give me. How about it? Would you come? Would you come? Would you just take one step? It's been a long time since I've tried to talk anybody into coming, but boy, I'd like to see you get in today. I'd like to see you get in. Please don't put it off. You don't know how short life is. Why don't you? Why don't you just run up that white flag and say, I surrender, I surrender. Just call out on the Lord, He'll save you, He'll save you. Oh, would you call on Him this morning? How about it, would you? Would would you come?